Extra Features editor. Today we have a weird scenario. The guy's driving to work. We've never had that before. That's awesome. We have Tom Bollinger here. He's discussing his film, Who's Jenna? And great. Thanks for coming to the show. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited. And yes, I am driving, but I'm about to park my car, so I won't be killing anybody as I'm driving.
All right. So it's hoping for fast excitement today. you start off your film, before I even get to the film, you have, who is Kathleen Forlena? Forlena?
Oh, Kathleen Forlenza. Oh, sure. So that's my cousin's wife. Unfortunately, she passed away after the movie was finished. And she passed away after the movie was done, and it was she passed away a couple months prior to us doing a private screening of the film in Asbury Park. And I just thought it was the right thing because she was always a big supporter of mine. Her husband, my cousin, was always a big supporter of mine. Her whole family, my cousin's family, my mom's aunt, my mom's sister, and all, you know, my whole family's been very big supporters of mine. So I thought it was important for me to recognize her when the film was finally released.
Well, I think that's very nice of you. Now, you say you just had a screening in Asbury Park. That's a pretty big location to have a screening in.
Yeah, we did it. It was a year after the movie was completed. We had a final cut, and we did a red carpet private screening that turned into we did it at the House of Independence, and you know we weren't sure how many people we were going to have, and we had 350 plus people show up. We had Slim Chance and the Gamblers, who wrote some of the original music in the movie. Actually play that night after the screening. So it was a bang out night. We had a lot of fun and it was great.
Now, after the screening, you first showed it. Do you find people would give you feedback or everything's like, wow, I loved it? That's all you heard, or was there a little bit more?
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, it depends on you as an individual. Some people love to have their ego stroked and be like, just tell me how great it is. I'm quite kind of the opposite. I don't want to hear how great it is. I want to know what you found wrong with it. What could I have done better? What could we do better, you know, for the next project? Or what can we fix that's already there? And we knew that there were a couple little things that we wanted to adjust. And so after that screening, we did make some adjustments, some very minor adjustments to the film. And then we were invited to screen the film again. As another private red carpet event at the International Golden Door Film Festival in Jersey City, 4 months later. And actually having that second screening and I think close to 200 people show up for that screening. A lot of the same people who saw it, months prior, and they noticed the difference. So getting that sort of, constructive criticism and that feedback is highly, highly important in making a good product. So, and it helped us when we went to distribution and pitched it to all the distributors.
So cast, I always hear, is important from directors. If you have a pretty good cast, I got to give you full credit. You have some recognizable people.
Thank you.
And you have an actor. I had to write down his name because I love the guy so much. Lenny Venito.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I'm a big, big fan of his. I saw him. I'm like, oh, my God, I love that guy. So I guess.
Yeah, Lenny. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Did you get Jenna first is my question, or did you have these guys first and then get Jenna?
No, Tracy Birdsall was the first. She was being honored at the Action On Film Festival out in L.A., and my first film, my first short film, Two Sides of Love, was nominated for a couple of awards, and she got called up to the stage for her honorary award that she's done on all these independent films. And I looked at her, I turned to my wife, and I said, I think we found our Jenna. And then Bill Sorvino from the Golden Door Film Festival, and I met him at a multiple film festivals, and Gary Pastor. And actually, it was Gary Pastor who brought Lenny Venito to me. Gary was working on, I forget which TV show it was on NBC. Maybe it was The Odd Couple or one of the shows on NBC that Lenny was on, and Gary was working it. And Gary came up to me and said, hey, you know, what do you think of this guy? We should get this guy into the film. And I was like, well, I'm a big fan of his. He's, you know, I've seen a lot of his work. And you know, Lenny did a great job. And actually, Lenny and I became very good friends since then. And we actually wrote a film together that we are actually start shooting in 2 weeks.
Oh, awesome! I'm quite happy to see it because I love this guy so. And I have to use Vincent Pastore, but I love calling him Big Pussy because that was my favorite line ever. So where did you get him from?
Gary Pastore again. Gary was what brought him. That's Gary's cousin.
I was wondering. I know it's the same last name, but I didn't want to ask. I'm like, is it his son? I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're cousins, and Gary, you know, they were in Sopranos together as well. And Gary brought him to me and said, you know, what do you think? You know, can we get Cousin Vinny in the film here? And the role that he was going to play, the role that he played, actually was a lot smaller when I wrote it. And so of course when we had Vincent, I was like, all right, I've got to rewrite this and expand upon it. And he was awesome. He was a true professional. I mean, everybody in the cast were true professionals. Everybody just made my job so much easier as a, you know, director, first time director for a feature film. They really made my job a million times easier.
Oh, wow. Okay, great. Now, the other thing I find with indie filmmakers, they have problems finding locations, and you seem to have a lot of locations.
Yeah, we did really well with that. 624 Productions, I launched it originally as a nonprofit organization many, many years ago, and then I flipped it to an LLC after I did my first short film. And you know, I live in mid New Jersey, in central New Jersey, and a lot of the local businesses were very supportive of us coming in and using their locations, and Jersey City as well. You know, a lot of locations were very supportive because we were making the movie all in New Jersey. So it was, you know, Jersey proud, and people were getting behind it. So we were very fortunate. Of course, we had to, you know, when some of the, business owners, you know, when they found out, you know, all right, what is this movie about? Because there was some, you know, misconception because we thread the line of, you know, making fun of the adult film industry. And we have, you know, a couple characters in there from the adult film industry. There was some, hesitance from some of the owners, but once we explained to them, you know, who was in the film, what the movie was about, what a movie was really about, and we were successful in, you know, touching upon those subjects in a humorous manner without being too, you know, too raw and doing it, you know, with a lot of class.
Okay, let's get into your film now. The first thing that kind of shocked me is when the men are smoking in the hospital.
Yes.
Smoking and drinking. How did you get away with that?
How did I get away with smoking in the well, actually, so we shot that. That Western wasn't shot in a hospital.
Uh-huh.
We shot that at a daycare center.
Oh, even
which is
better.
Even worse. Which is even worse. I mean, you know, no, we didn't smoke in the hospital or drink in the hospital. We were in a daycare center. But no, that's the truth. It was a daycare center. And it's actually the daycare center where my kids went, and they were very open to us, you know, using the premise. But we were in a certain section of the daycare where, you know, we were very careful and making sure that it was during the off hours. You know, we cleared the room out when the guys were smoking. And, you know, back in the 70s, people did smoke everywhere.
I know. I was just laughing at that scene. I thought that was very funny.
Thank you.
The baby photos, who are they?
I'm sorry?
You have a bunch of baby photos you show?
Oh, yes, the montage. Yeah, no, that's Bill Sorvino and Joe D'Onofrio. They gave us all a bunch of photos of them as babies and as kids.
Okay, I had to ask. I didn't know.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, no, that was them. Yeah, it was awesome. It was funny because as we were putting that montage together, that was one of the feedbacks from some of our audience members, was they said they wanted to see some sort of progression of them from when they were kids to when they were adults, and I couldn't go back and reshoot it, so we did it as a montage with their photos.
See, there you go. I love the music when I wrote When the Blonde Walks In, Jenna, and I put Jenna in afterwards because I didn't know her name at that time. So I liked the musical choice a lot. I thought you did a good job on that.
Thank you.
Where am I going? Scott's coming to Toronto. Why Toronto?
Why did we choose Toronto?
Correct.
The drag queen scene that happens in Toronto.
Yes.
It was actually a real life situation that happened to me and a coworker.
Uh-huh.
When I was writing the film, you know, I wanted the guys to go to outside. I wanted them to go outside their comfort zone, out of New Jersey, New York. The East Coast there. And at that time when I was writing the film, I actually traveled to Toronto with a coworker of mine who's gay, and he brought me to a drag queen show. And he was like, you know, let's go out, let's have a good time. He's like, you're gonna love this drag queen show. And I've never been to one at that time. So I was like, all right, you know, let's check it out. What the hell? I don't care. I'm liberal. We'll have fun. And it was the absolute worst drag queen show I've ever seen. I mean, these men looked like men. They did not look like women one bit. And I got a kick out of it, and so did my friend, because he's never been there either. So we both walked in, was like, what the hell are we watching here? And so when I came home on the plane, I actually had the script with me, writing it. And I said, I've got to put this situation in the film in some way. I've got to be able to squeeze this in. And so I thought to myself, well, we're in Toronto, let's do Toronto, and let's have some fun with it.
That's kind of funny. I think that's really funny because obviously that's where I live, so it made me laugh so hard. So the boss in the locker room behavior after they play squash. I thought squash was a weird choice. Is that again a personal thing, or is it something you thought would work?
Actually, it was racquetball, and yes, I actually play racquetball. So that was a choice that kind of a little bit of nostalgia for people from the 80s and early 90s who were huge into racquetball was huge back then. So it was a personal choice because it's a sport that I still play today.
Oh, there you go. I always thought funny the girl on the bench. He's really rude to her, then gives her his business card. I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, great! Yeah, that was a lot of fun. In fact, that scene was originally written to be on the train, and the train company in New Jersey Transit, we really couldn't come to an agreement on how we could shoot that on the train. Without, costing either A, a lot of money, or B, disrupting their services. And so then we decided to shoot that on the platform at a station in New Jersey. And they, New Jersey Transit was fine with the trains going by and us catching it on the camera, but they just didn't want us. It just didn't really work out. It didn't want us on the train shooting it. And so we had to rewrite that for outside, and it worked great.
Yeah, it worked. I thought it really worked well. At this point in the film, I really, I didn't know what direction you were going, is what I'm trying to say. Because I thought it was a romantic comedy from the title.
Yes.
And I
yes.
really felt you didn't go that way at all.
Yeah, I think when I wrote the film, I wanted that romantic comedy, and we were at that point we were trying to do some more of the comedic, some of the more of the political stuff that's going on. There's a lot going on in the film, and there's a lot of different messages and a lot of different stories. I still think there is that rom-com feel of, where you have Bill and Tracy's character, falling in love and dealing with their relationship. But it was really, it's more about Bill's character and dealing with, bigotry and being blackmailed and trying to do the right thing, and always trying to do the right thing. And so I don't consider myself, trying to make a smart or political film, but we wanted to get that message out there. And so it was a very fine line of finding the romance in it, finding comedy, as well as finding the ways of getting that message out there. And so I think we did an all right job. I mean, as my first feature film, I'm happy with it. Would I love to go back and make changes? Of course. I don't think there's any director that would love to make changes to his films, even when they win the Oscars. I'm sure that they go back and go, I wish I could have done A differently or B differently. But overall, I'm pleased with the product, and I'm pleased with the feedback that we're getting overall from audiences and from legitimate reviewers.
I think you're missing, at least I feel, I know you directed it and we have a different view. The Bill's roommate really brought the comedy, I thought, more than anybody else.
Oh, 100%. Joseph D'Onofrio was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote that for him to be the comic relief.
Okay, then that works.
But I really think that Joseph really, I mean, he improvised quite a bit, and we kept quite a bit of his improvisation to what we wrote. So it was fantastic.
Yeah, I loved him. Okay, going now I can get into what I want to get in with him. Before I get in there, I thought your food looked great. Your dinner restaurant, the food looks good. Is it real food? Like, is it a real restaurant?
Oh yeah, for sure. In fact, the drag queen scene is the third floor of that same restaurant where the restaurant scene took place. So we utilized two different floors of that location for that film.
So the
food for those scenes.
Did you eat the food? Because it looked good.
Did I eat the food?
Yes.
No, I was busy eating Dunkin' Donuts on the corner. That's how much that's how much they loved me as a director, and the actors got the real good food.
Okay, I laughed when you found the big box of porn. I thought that was funny how it was labeled.
Oh yeah, no, that was I wrote in the script that he had a big box of porn, but it was one of my crew members, and I wish I could give which one of credit was. I'm not sure if it was my DP or it was our gaffer. One of the crew guys were like, "Tom, we got to write box of porn on this," and I was like, "Fantastic, do it."
It was good.
So yeah, it was a great choice. Again, this whole film was really a collaborative effort. I mean, I didn't sit there going, "Oh, I did everything," because that's not the truth. I mean, you know, with the cast and the crew, everybody really brought something to the table to make this film.
Well, after this interview, they're going to know you took all the credit, so it's all good.
No, God, no.
You found a VCR. I laughed when it was a VCR. I'm like, wow, you don't see those often in films anymore.
Yeah, that was Tristan Moore, who was our art director. He went out looking, and I remember he called me. He's like, "Tom, I think I got one." He found one, like, in his mom's basement or something like that.
Oh, that's funny. So how did you get the rights for the adult film?
Oh, fantastic question. We wanted to get a couple different adult film stars doing cameos in the film. We were speaking with one of the most famous ones in the one of the famous ones in the film industry, adult film industry. And she was on board, and then she backed away, and, you know, it kind of got a little contentious. And then my publicist at the time, Laura Madsen, and she's still our publicist now, one of our publicists, she had a connection to Amber Lynn. And so she reached out to Amber Lynn for us and said, "Hey, you know, I think Amber Lynn would love to do a cameo." And then Amber Lynn and I spoke on the phone, and she's like, I'll do it. I'd love to do it." And then she put me in touch with the people over at Wicked Pictures. And then I spoke to the people at Wicked Pictures, and that was a pretty funny conversation, because I'm on the train talking to the president of I think it was the president of Wicked Pictures, the guy's name was Steve, if I recall correctly. And, you know, I said to him, I said, "Look, I need a bunch of scenes from Amber's, you know, adult films. But I don't need any of the hardcore sex. I just need, like, some of the dialogue and everything." And the guy's like, he's like, "Okay." And then he's emailing me, and we're emailing each other back and forth. And I had a very large laptop in front of me. And, you know, when you're on the train sitting next to people, everybody looks over everybody's shoulders and looking at what you're typing and stuff. And the guy is literally emailing me, and he's saying, "So do you want penetration in the scenes?" And I'm like, "Oh my God, these people next to me must think I'm some sort of porn weirdo." And I'm writing back going, "No penetration. No thank you. Just need dialogue scenes." It was very, very funny. So I have to put that in my next movie, that embarrassing moment.
That's pretty good. So who knew so much about the adult film industry? Because that's a big subplot of this film, I thought.
Everybody did. You kidding me? Come on.
I don't know. I learned.
Everybody. What's that?
I don't know. I just kind of kept going and going and going. I'm like, okay, this is a big subplot. I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah, we you know, everybody contributed to the knowledge and the research of making sure that we were accurate, we were appropriate, and that we didn't misrepresent at any point.
Well, I think you did a great job. Now, this is maybe a far out question. Tracy, I mean, did you think Tracy looked like Amber Lynn? Was that the plan?
Tracy looked like one of the adult film stars in the industry.
Right.
What's that?
Yes, I agree. It's stated in the film. I just meant, did you look for an adult film actress that looked like her? Was that your plan, or was Amber Lynn
yes.
always? Okay, that
yeah,
was what
no,
I wanted
yes,
to know.
Yes, 100%.
And who wrote the line, Ron Jeremy needs a waxing, because I couldn't stop laughing?
Oh, that was me. I wrote that line. And in fact, we were talking with Ron Jeremy to actually do a cameo, and we just couldn't get the schedules to work out. And I spoke with Ron Jeremy on the phone. Excellent guy, really nice guy. And he was all about working on the film, but we couldn't get it to match up, and we were running tight on schedule, and so we just stuck with Amber.
Well, that's great. That's all my questions, but I do have fun questions if you're interested.
Yeah, rock and roll. Please.
Okay, favorite film?
Oh God, come on, that's not fair. My son asks me that all the time.
Well, he needs to know.
Oh God! I mean, you know, look, I'm a huge Chris Nolan fan.
Okay.
So I love all of his movies. I love the Dark Knight trilogies. I love growing up. Braveheart was one of my favorite films. Obviously, The Godfather is a classic. Gosh, I mean, it's so hard. I love Aaron Sorkin as a writer. One of my favorite TV shows was NYPD Blue. I know he didn't write that, but also, The West Wing. So God, that's a hard question because I have so many favorite movies.
What do you think of Christopher Nolan's The Following?
I'm sorry?
His first film, The Following?
The Following. Fantastic movie.
Yeah, I think so too. It's Friday night. You have people over and they want to watch a film. What do you put on?
Ooh. I have people come over Friday night watching a movie. What movie they're going to watch? Is it all guys or is it like couples?
You tell me.
Oh, come on. All guys, Caddyshack.
Oh, there you go. Great film.
Yeah. Couples, shit. I don't know.
You're a movie That's director. Your wife's going to make you put something on.
Yeah. I'm going to put my movie on. I'm going to put Who's Jenna on.
There you go. That works. Now, do you garage sale?
Do I what?
Garage sale? I don't know what you call it.
Garage sale?
Go to yard sales? I don't know. Do you buy DVDs? Use DVDs. That's my question. Maybe I'll.
Oh, do I still buy DVDs?
Yes.
Not really. Everything is streaming. Everything's video on demand.
Now, do you feel then, because that's what I'm saying, I'm a big DVD guy, so I still go looking for people's stuff when they have it out for sale. Now, do you feel that the industry has jumped off DVD too early and Blu-rays and stuff?
You know, it's like it was like the cassettes to CDs, you know, and then CDs are now gone. I don't know. You know, I mean, I think there's something to be said when you go into a store and you know, your favorite movie that you saw in the movie theaters and you're excited to actually buy that product and you're holding it in your hand, right? There's something to be said about that. Now it's, I can just click a button on my remote control and it turns on. But there's also to be something to be said about that as well, because it's like, oh, wait, you know, Star Wars The Last Jedi is available tomorrow? Wait, I can come home and just turn right my, I don't have to get in a car and drive there? So it goes both ways.
Okay. Where can people find your film?
Gosh, it is all over the place. We've got it on Amazon.com. iTunes, Google Play, Spectrum, Time Warner, Verizon Fios. We're hoping that a lot of people go to Amazon and rate the film. And just a quick little note, on Saturday of this weekend, I was got a Google alert. Who's Jenna was ranked the highest top-rated film on IMDb.com on Saturday, which was pretty awesome. So we've got a lot of audience members going in and voting on the film and giving it some high ratings. So for the independent film world, I'm very, very pleased.
Well, great. I want to thank you for your time. I hope you had a good time here.
No, this is great. I appreciate you having me on the show. This is awesome.
And I'm glad your film's doing well. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.